Welcome to episode 50 of Digital Outbox. Hello again, and thanks for joining us. Based on Chris's recommendations, I should have mentioned the date, so it is Sunday, 30th of May, just so you get a bit of context. Joining me today is Henry.
Hi, Ian.
Good evening. And Shaquille. Hi, Shaquille.
Hello, folks.
Hey. 50th episode. A milestone.
A millstone.
Indeed.
Half a century.
And it's a shame we couldn't get Chris here. Just so I can slag him off about Red Dead Redemption again. Because you guys won't know this, but we're playing Red Dead Redemption through the week. And as you know, Chris is a bit vertically challenged. So I whistle for my horse and my horse turns up. And Chris whistled for his and his donkey turned up. And he got on his little donkey and rode around in the game. And his parting comment was, "Even my Xbox knows I'm small." So we've a lot to cover. Mostly because me and Shaquille have new gadgets.
Really?
And tell they're also later. Famous.
You're gonna tell us now or later?
Well, everybody knows it's an iPad, but we'll go into it later. I think we pretended for weeks and weeks we weren't going to buy one.
Mm.
And then bought one.
Mm-hmm.
And for weeks and weeks pretended we were just going to get middle-of-the-road ones. But we'll come on to that later. First up, and I think hopefully this is closure. Because this has turned into as bad as escape stories we were covering. Facebook is tweaking their privacy settings.
Ooh.
So
finally and at last.
Finally and at last. So after, I guess it's been about, I mean, this has been going on for weeks and weeks now. But finally they've come out and said, we will make it simpler. They know they missed the mark trying to provide the granularity that they thought everybody wanted. And they will have a more simple set of options. I don't think it's going to be options, but they just say, make it private to friends only, please, and no one else. I still don't think it's as clear cut as that.
No,
it's not. I mean, I've noticed that I've got the changes that have come through. And basically all it seems to do is like an extra page at the front of your privacy settings, which kind of summarize who can see the different bits of information. So it's not a huge change, to be honest. And I'm not really sure how they're really addressing the issues that have been levelled against them, but it's a step in the right direction, I suppose. It does make things a bit easier to see what's going on.
I think one problem I see that they have is, personally, I want everything private for myself, but considering that it's a social network service, I think they expect that people want to naturally share information, but it's like quite difficult to, I think, define how much information you want to share automatically. And I think the other thing is, clearly they're trying to grow. They want to have as much control as they can. But people, as soon as people realise that, you know, someone is trying to take control of their information, I think that you just get a bit of a backlash. I haven't gone in and tweaked any settings. I did tweak them the last time they added new privacy settings. And I think I'm quite happy with what I've got set up for now. So I'm just going to leave them as they are.
Yeah, I'm quite happy with how I've got mine set up. Mm. But, I mean, a friend of mine did go on and was, like, really quite shocked that the default was that all your status updates are visible on the internet. Now, that's, you know, of course, that's been the case for the last, what, 9 months, year maybe?
Yeah.
Mm. When they launched the you could get your username, you'd get a URL with your name in it.
Yeah.
And you could associate that. So since then, really, they've been going down that route. So it's interesting that, of course, most people don't know at all what their privacy settings are and don't really know when things change. And I think that's really the issue that Facebook has, is that it's changed the default of what was going on. We've talked about this on the podcast for months, but there we go.
One other thing that Zuckerberg did guarantee, or well, he claimed, was that they don't give advertisers access to your personal information, which I still don't think is true. I mean, we've certainly heard from developers before that they have access to quite a lot of information that you don't realise that you're sharing out.
Yeah, maybe they don't give it to advertisers, but they do give it to developers.
Yes, so, and if an advertiser is a developer, then hey-ho, crack on, guys. So, and as you said, to me, they've just changed what it was 4 years ago when it first launched. It was a way of privately talking to a group of friends, and it's turned into now they want all that information out on the internet so they can get some good link juice.
Mm, definitely. Yeah, I'd just like to mention reclaimprivacy.org, which is if you're having trouble working out the privacy settings, then it's a nice little handy bookmarklet that you can put on. You navigate to the Facebook page for privacy, and you click the bookmarklet, and it'll give you a little warning as to how private or otherwise it thinks things are, and whether you want to look at stuff. And it did recommend I look at a page which I'd kind of missed when I was looking at things. So worth having a wee look at, even if you've not
definitely
you've not used that before.
It just shows you how complex it is. You know, even tech savvy people don't get it.
Well, I don't know. That was just me.
Come on, I've got to compliment you sometime. So we mentioned this last week about when's an Android tablet going to be coming, and it's here. The Dell Streak is coming to O2. It's actually going to launch in Europe and the UK first, so it'll come to O2 in June. And rather strangely, because when I think of a tablet, I think of a fairly sizable device, but it's a 5-inch tablet device.
Mm.
But it's Android powered, 3G and Wi-Fi connectivity, 16GB of storage, GPS, and 2 cameras. So,
yeah, there's not a bad video of this on the BBC website. You've got the link there in the show notes, and it does seem quite small, doesn't it?
It just seems a bit, you know, if you look at the that new smartphone, the new Android one that came out last week, which was I think 4-inch.
Hmm.
There's not that much difference between, you know, that and this, but it's I guess it's Dell getting back in the market.
And it has cameras.
It has
unlike maybe a device that it's maybe trying to compete with.
Yes. Mm. And also, unlike other Android tablets that have come before, this is actually going to be able to connect to Android Marketplace. Google has bizarrely blocked some tablet makers from installing the Marketplace app on devices larger than a mobile phone, which I hadn't realised until I read through that article.
That's very strange, isn't it? Because Google, you know, promoting...
So open.
Openness and
so open.
Yeah,
still, that's just a cheap jab,
cheap thing. After all the Google I/O stuff from last week, that's just one wee swipe back.
Cheap so jabs at us.
The people who had been saying so far that the iPad is just a giant iPhone, are they going to be saying that this is just a bigger Android?
Or slightly bigger. This is just a slightly bigger Android.
It's not like a giant Android. It's not a giant Android. It's just a slightly larger Android. It's a Metal Mickey type of Android.
Oh dear.
Rather than an R2-D2.
A couple of significant changes at Microsoft. Basically, the two guys behind the original Xbox and also the 360 have left. So Jay Allard and Robbie Back have both left Microsoft. And they were primarily responsible for Microsoft's entertainment and devices division, which is now going to report directly to Ballmer. So he's taking more of a hands-on role, allegedly.
Oh dear.
Exactly.
Well, stuff then, aren't they?
I just have the fear for future Xbox consoles, which is maybe misplaced. Now, there was a lot of rumour that they were leaving because of the courier cancellation. But I must admit, I mean, Jay Allard did a pretty amazing, I'll put the link in the show notes, a pretty amazing leaving letter, which Microsoft eventually published. And it was just about how he was, you know, inspired to work there and what he was trying to do. So a bit cheesy in some places, but a good read. And I just hope it doesn't hurt that. The actual Xbox platform. Microsoft have done really well establishing a rival to Sony and Nintendo.
Absolutely, and their online might be much better, isn't it?
From a console point of view, I think so. I mean, I know there's a couple of my friends on the PC side just hate Xbox Live or the Live Windows Live platform on the PC. It's just hateful. But for me, the actual consoles itself and the online experience is second to none.
Well, there we go.
Moving on swiftly, as you'll notice. Not that we've got something big to talk about in a wee while. BBC iPlayer updates. So I don't know if you guys have checked these out.
No.
But there's a new beta version launched. So they've slickened up the navigation. And they've basically said there's two categories. There's featured content, there's most popular. You can still drill down into channels and different days. But they'll also, iPlayer will make recommendations. So I guess it's got taking a cue from maybe things like Boxy and some of the other apps that are out there. It's gone more social. So iPlayer will make recommendations via your BBC ID. And it'll also, once you're logged in, if you're logged in via your BBC ID, you can recommend content to your friends on Facebook and Twitter.
Just like the way you say BBC ID.
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 And you'll also see on the actual site itself, you've got a friends category, so you can see what they're watching and recommending. Mm. And I've also integrated Windows Live into iPlayer as well. So you can have a conversation around watching content.
Well, I must admit, just before we came on, I had a play with BBC iPlayer on the iPad. And it was quite slick looking. I was really impressed. And the video quality was fantastic.
I think the video quality is really good, but they're using the 10-foot interface on the iPad.
Yeah, but it was compared to the interface before, like on the iPhone, if you browse to it.
Yeah.
It's a lot simpler and quite easy to just see.
Yeah. And I think they've just went for the 10-foot interface. It's probably the quickest, easiest one to get up and running on a touchscreen of that size. One other thing they're going to do, which has got a bit of a mauling from Sky, so no surprise there, but they're actually going to start offering recommendations and links out to ITV Player and also the 4OD service. And Sky is very upset by this because they say it's backdoor, it's becoming an aggregator of all content which the BBC Trust had thrown out previously.
But that's quite interesting. I mean, I wouldn't mind a little aggregated like that. And surely, ITV and 4OD, I don't really understand what Sky's talking about. Surely if it directs people to Sky.
I think they're all just chasing traffic. I mean, the BBC guy behind it did say that they'd welcome the participation of Sky and they'd invited them, but they hadn't heard anything back, which is no surprise. And the next day, I don't know if it was one of the Murdochs that actually came out. It was probably just a Sky spokesman came out and slated it. And also, interestingly, there was rumours of a dedicated iPhone or iPad app, but they said the new mobile version will appear in a few weeks, and that will be for iPhone and iPad. And also, it was available for iPad on launch day. So, some nice updates for iPlayer.
Mm-hmm.
Now, onto some Apple stories. I think these are all kind of Apple stories. Yeah, they are. First up, Henry, Apple's bigger than Microsoft.
Finally. Well, obviously it's, bigger. How do you measure these things?
How do you measure bigness?
How do you measure bigness?
Need Chris here for this story.
Well, you do, don't you? But certainly if you measure it by the market capitalization, in other words, you take the share price and you multiply it by the number of shares, Apple is now bigger than Microsoft. Its profits and its revenues are still less than Microsoft's. Microsoft still gets more profits and makes more money overall. But if you're just measuring it by market capitalization, then Apple is actually bigger. I'm just wondering now if it's as evil as Microsoft, or if it's heading that way. When you get that size, if that's inevitable.
It's inevitable. All companies are evil. And the quicker I think people realise that they're all out to make the biggest markets here, they're not out there to make friends. But it's just amazing when you think where Apple came from a few years ago to where they are now. And it's certainly obvious from all the the tech community, all the kind of launches people are doing, they certainly are gunning for Apple now. It's almost like everybody versus Apple.
Yep, and that's quite interesting. And of course, you know, the whole thing with Apple really taking the march on Microsoft in the whole mobile arena. I mean, Windows Mobile used to have a significant market share, and now they're absolutely nowhere. Mm-hmm. Whatever happens with the Windows, you know, Mobile 7 or whatever phone, whatever they're going to call it, keep changing the name, don't they? But whatever happens with that, you know, they don't really have a platform to put it on.
No.
Android is really overtaken the place of Microsoft as an operating system in the mobile stage. So, interesting times ahead, really.
Definitely. And a couple of, I guess, one upcoming rumor of Apple TV being far cheaper and cloud based. So this came out only a couple of days ago, and obviously we had Google TV from Google I/O last week. But the rumors that have allegedly been confirmed by an anonymous source, which probably means this is all guff. I remember saying, probably in episode 1, we'll never do stories based on rumours.
Mm-hmm.
That gets thrown out the window. But what seems to be the direction of Apple TV is that the architecture, the actual hardware, will be based directly on the iPhone 4. So same internals, A4 CPU, limited amount of flash storage, but it will be capable of full 1080p output. Device will be small. Hardly any ports, so like a power and video out, and it's, somebody described it as an iPhone without a screen. Price point, $99
or £199.
I thought Chris wasn't here. but you're probably right. I mean, it probably will come out at £99 or £89. There'll be some token discount. Maybe it'll be £98. But what seems to be behind this is that it's the local storage is getting moved away from, and it's talking about using Apple TV as a cloud-based solution. And similar to, and if you've ever tried some of the Microsoft streaming videos, they start very quickly.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when you think with Apple TV, when you actually said, I want to view this, you know, video, it would take, you know, maybe like a few minutes before it would cache enough, and then you could start watching it. And on the 360, if you start a movie, it's amazingly quick to get, you know, high def. So similar, it's around that same model. And if you want local content, you can use a time capsule, which will expire in 18 months, but you just go and buy a new one. But use a time capsule as an external storage component. So that seemingly is the way Apple TV is going.
Well, that's good, though. I mean, we've discussed this before. The current Apple TV has been a bit of a wasted opportunity for Apple, I think.
Yeah.
And I'm actually glad that Google came out with Google TV, because that's kind of given them a kick up the arse to, you know, get their act together. So yeah, I'm quite looking forward to it, and can't wait to see what they do with it. And at least now we've got two choices.
Definitely. I mean, I think it's a given as well that the App Store would feature.
Yeah.
You know, so you can just buy, and that seems to be the way the whole TV market's going, whether you buy it, whether you get access to apps on the TV itself because it's connected, or whether you've got it through a device.
Mm-hmm. And while we're talking about rumours, I'll just like to add in another rumour, which is, actually it's a bit more than a rumour, because I think a lot of people have kind of said it's locked in now. It's the iPhone 4. The resolution of the screen is supposed to be 4 times the current resolution. I can't remember the exact figure, but basically they're saying that it's about 4 times.
Tiny icons. Tiny icons of us.
Well, the reason I think it's going to be good is because I look at the iPad screen, and the pixel density is quite high on that. And the quality of the graphics that gives out is, you know, quite stunning.
Yeah.
I mean, seeing as some of the apps are basically just very similar to the iPhone apps, but just because they're in kind of HD format, they just look amazingly sharp.
So under a microscope, people have concluded that it's now going to be 960 by 640 resolution.
Well, thank you.
That's incredible.
Which on a screen size that they're talking about, it will be the biggest pixel density of any of the smartphones out there.
Mm-hmm.
So from a clarity point of view, you know, there'll be no more pixels, if you know what I mean. It's going to be very, very clear.
That's incredible.
I think the other rumour they were saying was Apple looked at those OLED screens from Samsung, but for whatever reason, they decided not to go ahead with it. I think they just couldn't get enough screens put together in the time that they had.
I think it was screens, and also they were talking about performance outside.
Right. Okay.
Seemingly, you know, there's still some issues, and I think there was issues about the touchscreen as well. So I think it was one of these things that everybody, and I was the same. Every time I heard OLED, I thought, well, that's the future, that must be the one.
Yeah.
But that ain't necessarily so.
Yeah, I think that just kind of that just shows really how you know, with these new technologies and things, that they're kind of fragmenting into the different applications that you can use them for. So there's not this one technology that's going to take over all the different you know, places you're going to use the screen. So I don't think that's a bad thing. It just shows a maturing of technologies and things.
And even if you have a technology that's better, but just because maybe it's financially not viable, you know, you don't have to use that, then you have to. I mean, I don't know if, you know, you remember the said TVs that came out?
Yeah.
And they basically just cancelled that, even though it's a much, much better technology than LCDs. Just financially, they said it's just not viable at the moment. Whether it will make an appearance in the future, it's anybody's guess. It's a shame, really, but, you know, I think what we have at the moment in terms of TVs is pretty good enough.
So, a couple of specific iPhone stories. So it kind of broke, I think it was either Wednesday or Thursday. Initially, people were saying that Bing was going to be taking over the search on iPhones, but I think that got watered down into Bing would be an option on iPhones. So currently, search on the iPhone, it's defaulting to Google, but you can swap to Yahoo. And what it seems to be is that they may also have a Bing option in there. And to be honest, I think fair play.
Yeah.
You know, a bit of choice there, because I've certainly still using Bing quite regularly.
Well, it just shows, doesn't it, that Bing has gained enough market share from Google that it is a kind of a viable alternative, really.
Yeah. So, well, I think they're reliable now from a search results point of view. And Apple will probably just want as much Google out of the iPhone as possible. Yeah.
I don't know if you read about the other rumours about the keynote that Microsoft could be making an appearance in.
Yeah,
so.
But they denied all that.
Yeah, because some people were saying it's to do with Visual Studio 2010.
Yeah.
That's going to have iPhone development platform included in
there. So the rumour that was quite funny was that Ballmer had been given 7 minutes and he would be appearing on stage to announce this.
Yeah.
Yeah, right.
Well, it was amazing how it was doing the rounds, and I guess it's just because it was so ludicrous. And it was from one of these market analysts.
Oh yeah, one of those.
Tell me, we should just get, like, you know, little tags published with just market analysts on them. Just publish some story. Shaquille Nine, market analyst said. but the actual Microsoft, the official Microsoft Twitter account, said no, he's not doing it, and no, he's not appearing on Dancing with the Stars either, which was quite amusing.
Well, he doesn't need to do Dancing with the Stars. Anyway, he already dances around on the stage every time he does a keynote, doesn't he?
Developers, developers, developers. I must link to that video. One more story. I noticed Skype 2.0 came out yesterday, and it now allows calls over 3G. So finally, you can actually use the iPhone without using the phone bit and use Skype.
This is the iPhone app, right?
This is the iPhone app, yes.
Yeah, because the Skype for on Nokia things has not had a problem doing that.
Nope, absolutely.
Anytime. So if you've got another device, not an iPhone, then you've been able to do this for a while.
Yes. the only thing I thought was a bit sneaky, because everybody's been talking about when's it going to happen, is it Apple stopping it, was it AT&T and O2 and other providers? So as of now, that I could make a 3G call, which I guess means I could put it on the iPad and actually turn it into a Dom Jolly phone, which would be quite amusing. I didn't really think of that until I looked at
that. That would be very funny.
Hello! but the catch is that from August, Skype will start charging a small monthly fee for using 3G calling.
Oh, that's sneaky, isn't it? How sneaky is that?
So, but I guess it'd just be, it would depend how much that small monthly fee is. You know, if it turned it into a £10 fee, then it's not really very compelling, is it? Mm-hmm. I've not actually tried it yet. Have you guys tried it to see what the quality is like?
Nah.
Ah, well. That was a great story.
No, I just say, I get 3 minutes with my phone and I don't really make that many calls anyway, so it's not that big a deal for me.
Fantastic. Right. So, May the 28th, the iPad was launched in the UK and I bought one. I was waiting for that. I was supposed to be a seamless, smooth link. So, and
I didn't buy one.
Oh. So, me and Shaq queued up Friday morning, like saps. And so what version did we go for, Shaq?
Well, originally we weren't going to get one, were we? And no. Then we sort of thought, right, we're going to get the 32 gig Wi-Fi only.
Yes.
And then a week before the launch, we thought, oh no, Wi-Fi only, but we're going to be traveling, we might need 3G, blah, blah, blah. And then we had so many choices, didn't we? We could either go with 3G or MiFi or buying a 3 SIM card from eBay, all these options that are available to people at the moment. And then you, I think, started the ball rolling where you downloaded some apps before the launch.
Yeah.
And we realized that, some of them were huge.
So the one app that stood out was Elements, which is a lovely app. Totally pointless for me, but it's a lovely app.
There was the videos as well, the ones you were converting, they were coming up at quite a big size. And
Elements alone was 1.7 gig.
And Wired was over 500 meg.
580 meg. And it was these are going to be big.
And if you start subscribing to magazines and they are like that sort of size, you think, is 32 going to be enough? So basically, in the end, we went for the top of the range model.
Yes. So that was £700 we spent on an iPad.
Yep. What were the accessories?
What about them?
I know one person who just went in and without even looking at prices started going, yep, I'll have that, I'll have that, I'll have that.
Well, that same person I think did the same in the App Store and spent 50 quid in about 3 minutes.
Have you got the stand? The Apple stand or a different
Yes.
Did you get that, Shaq?
The dock, you mean?
No, I meant the stand.
The cover. The case.
The cover. Case.
Yeah, I got the case. And
went for the Apple one, did you? Or a different one?
Yeah. The reason for that was we couldn't decide. I think that's why. So we thought we'll get something in the short term. And that's what we went for.
So let's, because I'm thinking, I'm not saying we're pushed for time, but let's try and go through this in an order.
Yep.
We'll rattle through the hardware first. And I guess some of my quick initial thoughts were it feels a bit heavier than it looks. So you look at it and you think it's going to be a certain weight, and when you pick it up, you're like, ooh, that feels a bit heavier, denser than I thought.
I haven't bought one of these, but I did have a good play with one on yesterday in the Apple Store, and that was the thing that really hit me, actually, that it's because they're really solid, aren't they? I mean, it's a solid piece of aluminium that they're
I think the other thing is the battery. The battery is absolutely huge. Mm. I think that's got a lot of weight to it as well.
Right. Yeah.
Okay.
As you're saying, it feels quite solid. There's no creaks. There's no anything that... I think as a device to hold in a hand, it feels very comfortable, but the screen gets quite smudgy, dusty. Yeah. But I think everybody's always said that about touch devices. I think the difference is with an iPhone or an Android or any other touch screen, it's very easy to wipe on your shirt.
Yeah. And the other thing with the screen is it's extremely reflective when it's off, but when it's on, you don't really notice it then.
Well, what I've noticed, so we did our talk 2 weeks ago at the Apple store, and one of the guys here had an iPad, and as he was showing us things, I mean, I couldn't see it at all. The reflection off the Apple store's lights was awful.
Yeah.
And I thought, oh, I'm going to have a real struggle if I got one of those. But, you know, the screen is fantastic. See, for viewing photos on, I think it's just gorgeous.
Mm.
You know, and it's little, but it's things like using Twitterific, seeing people's profile pictures in Twitterific.
Yeah.
They just really stand out, you know, compared to the small screen of the iPhone. And even just I think how vibrant it is, it's just...
I transferred a few albums from my iPhoto collection.
Yeah.
And seeing them off, it's just spectacular. So it's the only thing I can say.
So I think that the other thing is, and we're just touching it, the battery life is what everybody says it is.
Mm.
You know, and so you out the box, they're 85% charged. And I guess the first day, I mean, we were a bit, I guess our first day was a bit, I'm not saying spoiled would be a wrong thing to say, because we did have a good day. We had a works day out, so we had a golf outing. So I guess it was about sort of 10, half 10 at night before I actually...
Yeah.
When I got my iPad out, and the first sync took forever. we'll come on to that. We'll do that in the frustrations bit, because I've noted down frustrations in iTunes.
Yeah.
I think I had to, when I got to going to bed last night, I was down at about maybe 15% charge. But I've got to be honest, I think I used it almost all of yesterday. I tried to just do everything. I was doing blog posts in it. I was sending emails in it. I was doing all sorts just to try and use it as much as I could. And I got a tremendous amount of usage out of it. Considering I was watching films and YouTube videos and streaming a lot, I was so impressed.
Another thing I noticed was, compared to my iPhone 3G, the speaker on it is a lot louder.
Oh, yeah. The sound's superb. Mm. You can actually feel almost like a
vibration off it.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right. And the other thing is, you know, the buttons, like for the volume control, they're also quite... They're plastic, you know, rather than the metal ones on the iPhone, but they are quite solid as well. There's no any creaking in them at all.
Yeah. So, overall, the hardware I'm really pleased with.
Mm-hmm.
Really, really pleased. Anything you would change? Any flaws, hardware-wise?
Not really. I mean, I think, like we said already, the weight, if it was a little bit lighter, I'd be a bit more happier, I think.
Mm.
The reflective screen is an issue, but again, once you're using it, I think it adds to the sort of, like, quality of the graphics and the images that you see. So, I don't know if I would like to change that or not.
Now, I've seen the videos, and I wondered if either of you guys have put Velcro on the back of your iPads.
No.
No.
See that video and you think, actually, it's not a bad idea as it sounds.
So the video, which is in the show notes, has Velcro on a wall where you would normally have a picture. It has it on a car where you'd, so you can stick it in your car. It has all sorts of, and even in, what was it, a ceiling, I think it had it on.
It's a ceiling so you could watch a movie from bed.
But it was actually for the first time you see it, you think, how ridiculous, and you watch it, you think, they've actually got a point with some of these things. So yeah, I think moving on from there, so accessories. So I picked up one of the docks, which works. It's a dock.
Mm-hmm.
Initially, I didn't fancy getting the Apple case because I felt it and I didn't like the feel of it. And some of the people in America already had it. Said it picks up dust and dirt and it's quite rubbishy. So the Apple store had basically two choices. There was the Apple case at £30, or there was an in case, which was a kind of leatherette thing, a lot thicker. And I actually thought a lot better. And I guess this is what Shaggy was having a poke at. I didn't realise the price. But that was £50.
Yeah.
And I returned that. Because straight away, it did hold the iPad and it seemed to protect it really well. And I thought, actually, I'm really chuffed with this. And it had three angles for basically, so you could tilt your iPhone to three different angles depending on where you were looking at it. But as it was, when it was horizontal, it didn't hold it in. It started to slip slightly. So I pushed it back in, and 5 minutes later I had to push it back in again. It just didn't grip it.
No good.
It didn't hold. So I jumped online to try and get reviews, and the Apple Store in America initially had great reviews, but in the last week or two, people were saying after a month it just slips out really easy. And I was like, oh, that's going back. And I mean, fair play to Apple, they took it back, you know, no problem at all.
So you've got a standard case now, have you? Or you've
just got the standard Apple case, which has got a bit of protection on the front, so it's a bit thicker. The back's certainly just almost just that kind of plasticky, velvety, rubbery kind of material. And round the edge, I mean, it looks like it's just badly finished. There's like a seam sticking out, but I think that's just to give it some protection round the edge. Another thing is it actually gives you a bit of grip. Holding the iPad is a bit slippy.
I actually find the Apple case a lot better than I expected it to be after reading some of the reviews that people have put up.
I don't know if it's just because I had a low expectation.
Yeah. And I think the other thing is I actually like it because it keeps the device quite slim. It doesn't add too much bulk to it, if you know what I mean. So
no, definitely. And as I said, it lets you can hold it and you feel you've got a grip of it.
Yeah.
Whereas holding it without it, you just feel it starting to slip slightly. Mm-hmm. You know, just due to the weight and the slippy surface.
And what do you find typing on one of those things like?
Oh, I'm really good.
Yeah.
You know, it's like...
Does the case really help with that?
Yeah, I mean, I guess... So, I guess there's two ways to type. If you've got it in your hand and you're in portrait, trying to type with two thumbs, I found a bit awkward. So it's just big, you know, and just supporting the weight and also trying to type with just two thumbs, I just felt, you know, quite awkward. But the case itself, you can slip into landscape mode. It's got and it allows you to prop at an angle. And I actually can type really quick on it. You know, I felt I was, you know, same kind of speed. And I'm not a touch typist. I'm hunting and pecking all the time. And I found the touch screen to be ideal. Obviously a lot faster than the iPhone just because of the size. There's some blog posts that we'll be putting up tonight in Digital Outbox. And I've done them on the iPad. And it didn't feel like a chore. It was really, really nice. I don't know how you feel, Shaquille.
Yeah, pretty much the same. I think if I started doing a lot more typing on it, I might sort of think about investing in the Bluetooth.
The keyboard?
Keyboard.
Yeah.
But as far as it goes, it's, you know, miles better than using the iPhone keypad.
Yep.
The keyboard, should I say. I've not tried the two-thumb approach. If I'm holding it in one hand and, you know, in portrait mode, then I'll just use the other hand to type with.
Right.
I can't do two thumbs.
Yeah, I just tried doing it. Because I do that quite often in landscape on the iPhone. But everything's a lot more reachable.
Yeah.
Maybe I've just got short, fat, stubby thumbs. I don't know.
So what other accessories did you buy then?
So I got the case, which we've covered. I bought the... I'm trying to remember what it was called. It's a book arc stand. It's actually really nice. So this is basically a bit of sculptured aluminium with a rubber gap in the middle that allows you to stand the iPad and the desk. And again, it was one of these things. I saw it and I thought, I'm having that. And by the time I got home, I said to Shaggy, I said, I'm going to have to return this. but it's actually got two inserts, so you can take out the one that fits the iPad and you can put in a slightly thicker one so you can keep your case on and it'll still act as a stand. So that's actually sitting next to the iMac. And what I found is for things like if I was looking at a reference book or watching a video, having that next to the iMac and I can be doing work on the iMac. So if I was watching a tutorial video, I can watch it on the iPad and it sits in this stand. And the stand's lovely. So I actually quite like that. And again, I'll do a little post up about that.
So how is that better or different to the dock?
It's not really. Okay. I just like its design.
Didn't you say that you got the option of a slightly different angle on that as well?
Yeah,
in the you're just fixed, aren't you?
The dock's fixed, but in this one you can just put it in slightly less and you get it at the angle you're looking for. But to be honest, you can just pick up a dock and it does the same thing. It's probably just me. The only thing is it's slightly higher. And I guess that's a height thing that I might have to do. You know, it's going to be an issue longer term as well. I think I would like if I was using the iPad to watch videos on, I'd like it up at the same height as my Mac. Mm-hmm. Just so I'm just kind of looking to the left or right rather than... So whether I would ultimately sit it on a shelf or get some little mount for it, I don't know.
Okay, one quick question for you, because I've had this issue with the case on.
Yeah.
I can't put it in the dock.
Yeah, neither can I. I tried to force it in, but you can't get it in at all.
That's a bit of a...
Yeah, so there's an edge all round. Mm. And I guess, I mean, I can keep the case on in this other stand put the cable in and it can sit there and sink.
Because now I'm thinking, is that dock useless then? Because I'm not going to be taking out the case every time I want to.
Maybe. So the other things I bought were the camera connection kit.
Yep.
So that allows me to plug in an SD card or a USB. And to be honest, I've not faffed around with it enough.
Neither have I.
So I think that I'll need to wait to either next week or to a blog post. But certainly I guess what I'm looking at is that if I'm out and about with my camera, that I can view my pictures on the iPad, and if necessary, upload from the iPad. If I was wanting to send a photo anywhere. I think that was it. I don't think I bought any more.
No.
Wow. So, I'm a bit green sitting here, I must admit.
Will we quickly go through just some quick...
Yeah, definitely.
Software impressions.
Oh, fantastic.
So I'm just going to fire it up and just pick out... I'll pick out an app and then I'll let Shaquille do the same. So I guess even if I just take the default apps...
Well, before we go into the app, the first thing you get is the standard lock screen, where the screen's locked. Now, on the iPhone, you just got slide to unlock, haven't you? But on this one, you get another icon next to it.
Yes.
It's like a picture. It's like a little picture. So if you click on that, what you can do is it acts like one of these digital photo frames. So you can just have it sitting there, click on that photo, the little icon, it will turn into a digital photo frame. And I think it can also play music as well, can't it, in the background?
Yeah.
So I thought that was a nice little feature.
So even just the standard apps, so like calendar contacts, they're a lot richer looking than they were on the iPhone. Maps is just amazing to use. I think it really benefits from just the speed increase and the bigger screen.
Have you noticed whether you get faster internet on this or not? Because I feel like everything is a lot faster, like even like loading up from the internet.
Yeah, I just think it's a faster processor.
Right.
You know, if I fire up Maps, it just seems to work, you know, so quickly. And because we've got the 3G version, we've got a GPS in it as well. So it finds my location. It works so well. So all the standard, and even the photo app in it, you can now do a slideshow. And I don't know if you could do it in the iPhone. Maybe it was just there and I never noticed it.
Yeah,
but you can do a slideshow, you can pick some music and you can, you know, place a slideshow with transitions. So,
in fact, the photo app is almost like the iPhoto, isn't it? You've got photos, albums and events.
Yeah. And Safari's slightly changed, so you can see like your almost like your bookmarks bar that you can see in the normal Safari, and it's got like nine startup sites, and it just feels it's just taking more advantage of the actual real estate. So I guess, do you want to take us through one of your favourite apps then, Shaquille?
To be honest with you, this might sound a bit cheesy, but I've been spending a lot of time in the iBook store. I don't know why. I guess the thing is, I used to like reading books, but more recently I've just not been able to get into that. Just got my time and other things get in the way. But now just having all the books at like your fingertips, I've been just going through the store, trying to see if I can download anything. Downloaded Winnie the Pooh, which was free. I thought that was quite nice. And then one good thing is for each book, you can now download a sample, just so you can read like the first 10, 15 pages. And if you like it, then you can buy it. So I guess that is my most used app. It's a bit boring, but that's the one I use the most. It's not a lot more to tell about it.
The only frustration I've got is the iBook store in the UK just doesn't seem very well populated.
Yeah.
So it's got a lot of the free books, but it's not got a lot of books to buy.
But surely you just get the Kindle app.
Is there a Kindle app as well?
I downloaded a few samples in the Kindle app, and end of the day, you're just reading text on you, so you think it wouldn't be an issue, but it just seems a little bit basic compared to the iBooks app.
I guess you don't get
the little page flips.
I guess my worry before I do anything, I just want to understand all the different DRM nonsense around all the different stores. I don't know who's doing what, so I need to do a little bit of research. But I think certainly range-wise, Kindle's got a lot more range than iBooks at the moment.
If I can just say that quickly, when I was in the bookstore, I found a book by an author called Bernard Cornwell, and it was one of his latest books. So I went into the Kindle store to see, you know, what the reading order of the books are. So I found the first book in the series. It was about $7 in the Kindle store. Went into the iBook store, and there's nothing there. They've only got the latest book in the series. I'm like, well, what's the point of that? So, as Ian says, there's not a lot of choice in there at the moment, but I'm hoping they will keep adding more stuff in over the coming weeks.
So, one of the things that was talked about before the iPad was announced was that this whole concept of digital magazines and how it could really revolutionise it. And I guess, I mean, I've downloaded two that I'm trying. One's called Wired, which everybody's heard of. Another one is Popular Science.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess both of them I enjoy, but they're not actually easy to read, I find.
I had the problem with the Wired mag the same. I wasn't sure what to do, if you know what I mean, because you're not quite sure what you can click and what you can't.
And I've been doing a bit of digging today, and I think it does merit a blog post on its own. There's quite a lot of I guess there's quite a lot behind this. I mean, as I said, it's 580 meg, but seemingly somebody's looked into the bundle behind it, and it is just a series of InDesign exports, you know, just static graphics that you're just dragging around. Very nicely put together, but some of their design choices are slightly odd. You know, some of the, you're looking at, whether it's portrait or landscape, you're looking at some columns of text, they're squeezed in five columns of text, loads of graphics around it, and some of the columns actually only have room for two words. It just makes it hard to read. And also you're having to guess sometimes what to do. You know, you come to a page and you're like, what am I, do I go down? Do I go left, right?
Yeah, because some pages just go left to right, but some pages have like additional parts, which are like you scroll up. But one thing I found, the only reason, you know how I found that, if you click on a page and you get the little toolbar appearing at the top, and the right-hand icon, that gives you almost like a, what would you call it, like a layout view?
Yeah.
And that, with that, you can easily see whether you can go up and down on a page, but...
But then...
It shouldn't be like that.
What I found with the extra content was even just having, you know, Toy Story 3 was on the front page. You can play a video from it. You can then jump straight to the article. So it was actually, there are some benefits from it, and I think it is their first go.
Mm-hmm.
But disappointingly, you're having to buy a new magazine. It's a new app every time. So it's $2.99. I don't have a problem with the price of $2.99 for the magazine, because that's what I pay for the paper one. But it's a new download every time, and I thought they would have developed it as a, here is a magazine, now download a new, you know, issue within the actual app itself.
One thing that also irritated me was some of these articles, the text is like highlighted,
so
you know that it's like a link, so you click on the highlighted text and it takes you to another article further down the magazine, but then I haven't found a way to get back to
No, there's no back button.
So you just have to like go into your content and like scroll back.
Yep. And then, as I said, it's a first issue. And I know there's a whole lot of things where they were developing it, you know, alongside their Flash exporter, and eventually went this route with Adobe's help. So I'm sure they'll learn from it. But even just having a back button just to go back to where you came from would have been so beneficial. But Popular Science is worse.
Is it? I've not really tried that yet.
So its navigation options are just mental. You know, it's like you're dragging left to right to change, and then it says, no, you need to start going down. and you're going down, and then you think, I want to go across. Oh, no, I can't. I need to go all the way down before I can go across.
I mean, don't get me wrong. There are a few frustrations, but I think it's fantastic.
Oh, yeah. Marvel Comics is just like the best. I'm going to have a comic addiction.
I think that the only thing with the Marvel thing we can say is you've only got Marvel comics in there. It'd be nice to be able to get other comics.
Well, if you download Comixology, you've got access to more.
Oh, so right.
They don't support DC, but If I fire up Comixology, now that's another thing. It's the speed of launching all these apps is really, really good. But if I go to browse and buy publisher, and a lot of them are smaller publishing houses, but I've got, you know, there must be around 30 different publishing houses.
Okay.
That are supporting in there, and I guess the big one they're missing is there's no DC content. But there's definitely more than just the Marvel app itself. I mean, I grabbed Pages Keynote, and
numbers. What's
the numbers? And yeah, they worked, but they work, but they're limited. So you import like a keynote file. Like I imported a presentation that stripped off all the builds and said it's not supported. It strips off the notes and said it's not supported. The same with a document, which I thought was a bit nasty. So it's like straight away, yeah, it's just broken.
You know, that's a bit like the kind of pocket Microsoft apps,
yeah,
that we've had
exactly
from a few years ago. It seems, yep, like a bit of a step back. You know, you think you're
it did.
And actually you're not really.
But also, what it meant is that if you're wanting to take a dock on the road, you really have to master it in the iPad one, so that you're not losing out. You know, so at least it's got. And I just felt a bit annoyed by that, to be honest.
I think that will come. They will get the better compatibility, but it's a bit disappointing at the moment, isn't it?
Yeah, I just hope it doesn't come with, like, you know, Keynote 2 that I need to pay £10 for again, or £7 for again. And then just quickly, because as I said, I think our website will have a lot more content on it, just going through each of the apps.
I'm looking forward to that.
Air Video is just great for streaming video from a Mini, and the quality is superb. You know, so I can watch all the video. Evernote and Dropbox, I think they just really make good use of the screen real estate compared to the iPhone. And I'm finding a lot of these apps, I think it's almost landscapes becoming the default mode for them.
I think it's quite nice that almost all the apps, you get a slightly better layout when you turn it to a landscape mode.
Yeah.
Like Mail.
Instapaper works really well. IMDb, I just think, is great.
Oh, considering it's a free app, it's just fantastic.
Free app, and I know it's only, you know, rehashing web content, but it is superb.
And do you use Things or
Omni? I've downloaded Things, yeah. I was debating with Ian whether to pay, is it $11.99? Because I think it's a bit of a rip-off, really, especially when we've got the iPhone app and the desktop version. But I did plumb for it in the end. And to be honest with you, it's very, very nice. It's really, really nice. You got a much nicer layout in the landscape mode. It's quite easy to see everything. I can see myself using this a lot more than the desktop or the iPhone version now.
And I'm a Remember the Milk guy, so there's not an iPad version yet. All they've said is that is up there as a priority to develop something. Mm. But they said that 7 weeks ago, and it's all went a bit quiet. So people in the Remember the Milk forums are desperately trying to find an alternative for it. I mean, you can go to the website and it works on it, but the default app on the app on the iPhone is a much better solution than the website, and it'll be the same on the iPad. A couple of Sketch ones that I've got. Sketchbook, which is the Autodesk one, is really good for sketching. Whether I'll do a lot of sketches, I don't know. Because I guess one of the things I've been toying with is just if I've got a quick idea and I want to take a quick sketch of it. And I do, you know, I'm not saying I'm an artist or anything, but even just drawing a quick layout of a web page, or I want to lay out here's what we want to do as a solution at work. You know, I can see me doing it on this. And there's another app called Penultimate that allows me to do the same. Gives you a kind of moleskin type view. And then you can sketch out and save it into different workbooks. So you can have a websites one, and you can have a whole other different ones in there. Goodreader for viewing PDFs is very, very nice. So it loads it really quickly and renders it really quickly. And that's probably about it for... Oh, NewsRack. I'm using NewsRack for Google Reader content, because Reader's not out yet. I think when Reader comes along, I'll be using it.
Hmm.
Will we go on to our niggles?
Yep.
So my biggest niggle is iTunes. The first sync takes ages. and getting files into the iPad is just looks a real hacky add-on. So that within iTunes, you've got a tab that says, oh, apps. I can't even remember which one, it's apps.
It's the apps tab, yep.
And at the bottom of the apps tab, there's a file syncing, and you pick the app, so you can pick like Keynote, and then you can add a file to it. And that's how you manage your app, you manage your files, and it's just horribly clunky, nasty add-on. Hate it already. You know, I've only used it for 2 days, and it's just hateful.
Oh dear.
I just don't understand why. And I know that I know the rumor for next week's keynote is they might do something free around Mobile Me. But you know, if there was, why can't I just plug into Mobile Me, or why can't I plug into any web space somewhere and just open a file and save a file? Just horrid. And they just made it really. It's made it really clunky, and that's when they're talking about, you know, like, who needs a netbook when you've got this? And it's like, yeah, but I just want to deal with a file, you know, and everything. And there's workarounds. Some apps have started now. You can email out once you've edited it and stuff like that, and it's just all...
Yeah, it's a bit clunky though, isn't it? It's not the elegant solution you expect from Apple.
No, and I don't know if it's just something that's like, it's going to come. You know, if you think back to some of the issues they've had with the iPhone, and after a few... weeks, months have got the solution there. And I don't know if this is another one, but it just feels, file management just feels really bad right now. And also the first sync, it just syncs all the iPhone apps down. And
no, I think that's really cool. I don't think you'll get that on an Android tablet.
You know, basically, no, but I think the problem was, like when I put mine in, immediately you get the option to sync all your music. So I said, no, don't sync it. And then I left it, and like Ian said, it started syncing all the iPhone apps. Now, I think it would be nice in a certain situation, but I want to keep certain apps on the iPhone only, and yeah. I want to sync my own apps. Because it started syncing them all, I had to then go in and manually untick all the apps I didn't want on it. Now, I've got like almost 100 apps in my collection. And you can't even do like a multi-select. You had to do one at a time, and that was just frustrating.
And you couldn't say, show me iPad-only ones, or show me the, you know how the ones with the little plus that says are for iPhone and iPad? You couldn't filter. You could filter by name. So I've got nearly 200 apps. It was painful. So that whole first sync was just like... And it just felt very un-Apple, got to be honest. You know, when you think about, and I'll need to put the link in, somebody did a post of the first sync if you've not got iTunes installed. Because the first thing you need to do is download iTunes and then go through and create an account, and you've got all this legal mumbo jumbo you've got to go through. Then you're plugging in your iPad, and it's, I think it was 14 steps to do the first sync. And it was like, that's horrendous. But apart from that, I've not really got an issue.
No. You know what I really like about it, which is kind of, it's a small thing, but just having that nice background, I think that's a bit more... no, I just think, because like on the iPhone, you've just got a black screen, and it's like, looks kind of, I don't know.
You've spent £700 to have a nice background.
Have you changed the background then, Shaq?
My lock screen background to something else, and I've kept the default one for now. Until I find something else that's nice, because the reason I kept it is it's not that distracting from the icons. You know, if you have like a really busy background, then you know it can get a bit too busy to just identify all your icons on the screen. So I've left it as it is for now.
Is there anything else that we need to cover?
I think considering the fact that we've only had it for 2 days, you know.
What's your 48-hour verdict then?
I am extremely happy with it, I would say. And I can see myself easily using this instead of my MacBook Pro for about maybe 90% of the time. I would happily recommend this to most people. One thing I think I'll emphasise is that it is not... a laptop replacement, like most people who slag it off, saying, oh, it can't do this, it can't do that. That's because it's not supposed to. You know, it's supposed to be a device where you can check your emails, surf the net, get the apps from the App Store, and just have fun, basically. You know, you don't have to like constantly fight with your computer just so that you can call it a real computer. This is a real computer. This is a real thing. It just has a different purpose. Was that a bit too passionate?
No. I tend to agree. I guess maybe I had a bit of luxury. I had the iMac. I had the MacBook Pro laptop. Got the Mini sitting there doing the media stuff. But I felt there was too many devices, and what I was wanting to do was get rid of the MacBook, and I now have because it's broke. And I think I'm now, you know, I just after a couple of days, really pleased with the purchase. And I think that is me down to having the one desktop. The Mini's doing all the media, you know, file handling, and my mobile. My mobile, I guess, needs are covered by the iPad.
Mm-hmm.
Like you say, I'm not going to do work on it, but I'll certainly be doing small bits of, you know, so I can see me blogging on it a lot more. You know, and whether that's directly on a WordPress site or via the WordPress app.
See, the other thing is, people who use a computer, they don't always do work on it, you know?
No.
You do work at the office and, you know, some people work from home, but you don't always do work on a computer. Sometimes you just want to do other things. And this nicely covers that, and it's portable, easy to use. One thing I just remembered, do you remember that old guy in the queue that we saw yesterday? He looked about 80 or something like that.
Yeah, and I've got it in the blog post for later on.
Because it was in the newspaper, wasn't it, saying, I can't remember his name now, basically he's never used a computer in his life, and now he just wants to get in on the act, and he thinks this will be just the right thing for him, easy to use.
Yep.
And I thought that was really, you know, something else, really.
Yeah, well, I guess, and that's the bit I was going to cover. You know, so we queued up for it. And I know people have got their own views about, you know, queuing up for a gadget, whatever, saying get a life. For me, we were there for an hour and a half. We're one of the first few to get in. I thought the Apple staff were really good. I'm not one for all the whooping and a cheering, but it certainly did set an atmosphere. But I thought it was really impressive that once we got in the store, you got an individual personal shopper. They took you away. They made sure you had everything you wanted. They ran around and got all the bits and pieces you needed. And I just thought you were dealt with really professionally.
Yep.
And there was an offer at the end of it if you wanted somebody then to go through setting up the iPad and what to do and all that kind of stuff. They were quite happy to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And it just didn't, you weren't rushed at all. You know, so even though there was, I mean, in Glasgow there's what, a couple hundred people in the queue. So yeah, the chap you're talking about is a guy called William Boyd. And the only reason he stuck in my head was as he walked by, I was chuckling at his cap and saying that you'll be nicking that off him. And then you noticed when we were inside it, he was in the queue.
Yeah.
But it turns out he was, he's 78 year old. He used to run a towel company manager through in Fife. And when he retired, computers weren't really, you know, they weren't really in business yet. So he had never used a computer. And this was his first computer. And the reason he wanted an iPad was for many reasons he talked about, and it was mostly for like internet and emails with his family. But the main reason was the simplicity. And I guess it just, I've put it in the blog post, for me, it sums up, you know, why Apple get a lot of, you know, they got a lot of market share now. They do make things easy to use. In general, things still go wrong. I'm never going to sit here and say, you know, things don't go wrong, but, you know, as a device that you can just pull out and start using very quickly, it is kind of hard to compete with.
So I think one thing we haven't covered is when we got our SIMs and how to activate them. And I don't know how it went for you, but I put my SIM in and I don't remember seeing a message, you know, to say, do you want to activate your SIM or do you want to buy some data from us? And I think it was only this morning that when I switched it on, I switched it on and I switched off my Wi-Fi. So 3G thing kicked in immediately. And then I got a little notification from O2. So I said, yes, I want to, you know, register. And so they showed me a page where you put in your name, your address, your credit card stuff. But the thing is, you can't sort of say, I just want to register in that site. So you actually have to buy something.
Yeah.
So I just bought the 500 meg thing for £2.
Right.
And that's it. And I haven't used it. I'm easily switched off 3G and went on to Wi-Fi.
But that is 500 meg for £2. Is that for just a day?
Well, that's an interesting question because I wasn't sure at the time. Now I'm thinking, is it for a day as soon as I buy it, or is it from the point I start using it?
Yeah, and I think it's something that we'll need to experiment with over the next sort of week or two. When I guess the only reason I picked it up on Friday, we picked up the Microsim, the O2 Microsim on Friday from the Apple Store, because if you wanted Vodafone or Orange, you had to have two proofs of identity, and I just didn't think about taking anything along with me. So I took the O2 Microsim and I put it in because iPad kept on complaining about you've no 3G. I was like, oh, for goodness sake, and I just threw it in and it never complained anymore. And the next day I did get something saying, you know, you've updated carrier settings, and that was in iTunes. But I've not used it outside the house yet.
No.
Another thing I've done, last night I've ordered an Orange Microsim because that looked to be free to set up an account. And I just thought, well, it'll give me some different pay options. And the third route I've went, because I was toying my idea, so I guess price-wise, the best deal seems to be with Three. But it's a monthly contract, and I don't want to pay a monthly contract because there's going to be some months I will hardly use data. And there's other ones I'll probably use quite a bit. So what I'd like to do is almost like a, see if I could just buy, you know, like a pay-as-you-go SIM, or even just, you know, a SIM that's got, like, you know, 3 meg on it, or sorry, 3 gig on it, or 10 gig on it, and it lasts for 6 months or a year.
Yeah.
But there's no micro SIM that's got that option at the moment, which is a bit frustrating. So what I've done is I've ordered a SIM, a full-size SIM off of eBay, which I'm going to trim down because the only difference between a micro SIM and a full size SIM is there's extra plastic around it. The actual contacts are exactly the same. So hopefully that'll come through the middle of the week and I'll give that a try.
And that's preloaded with data, isn't it?
Yeah, and that doesn't start, that isn't used until you first insert it in the iPad. And I think the only thing you need to do is change the, you know, how the connection details within the iPad.
Right.
For the actual, you know, when you go in, you've got your, I can't remember what they're called, your server details, your network details for your 3G settings.
Yep.
So I think it's just going into those settings and changing them over. And I just can't remember. So you're going to sell your... Yeah, it's just your APN settings you need to change.
Okay.
So I think we need to do a little bit of experimenting around that and just see what's out there. I think that was my fear with 3G.
Mm.
That unless you got... And I don't want to go for a monthly contract... Another option was a MiFi, and a MiFi actually looks like a price-wise, it looks like not a bad option, but it's just it's another device. And online it says you get 5 hours, but then I've read a couple of blog posts this weekend that says the MiFi only lasts a couple of hours.
Yeah, and I think it's not just having another device. It's also the fact that because you've got something external to the iPad, then you might have issues like connection issues. You just don't know.
Well, the blog post I'd read had talked about how you've got a MiFi, which when you switch on, first of all, it has to authenticate and get its network and then set up the router side of it and then be available as a Wi-Fi hotspot.
Mm.
And then the iPad has got to recognise it and connect. And the post I read said it takes about a minute for all that to happen. And I just know I'd get hacked off at that switching on. When I want to do something, having to wait a minute. I know it sounds trivial, but I just want to... Now, having 3G there, it's just like, you know, if Wi-Fi's not there, it just works.
Yeah.
I just need the right contract.
One thing I've noticed that's different to the iPhone is there isn't an option to switch on and off 3G. It's almost like as soon as you switch off Wi-Fi.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, I haven't noticed it unless you have.
No, but then I've not really been into the settings that much.
Because I've noticed this morning when I was doing it, that in the settings, you go into your settings... And then you go into general, go into network, and then the iPhone you've got Wi-Fi, and then you've got 3G option.
There's a cellular data option which you can switch off.
Cellular data on and off.
Yeah.
Is that for?
Mm-hmm. I think that'll be it.
Okay.
I think it's just a different menu option because you go to cellular data, it's on at the moment, but I can turn it off.
Yeah, so it's mine.
Yeah.
Okay, so if I turn that off. Then I turn off my... Oh, okay, something changed there. Turn it on again. Oh, yeah, you're right. Because if I have it on in the top left corner, I've got O2 UK.
Yeah.
And as soon as I turn it off, that disappears. So that's been eating into my battery life, which I didn't even notice.
Mm. But then the battery life's been excellent.
Yeah.
So, I'm as a device, I'm really pleased. Really, really pleased. I've got no regrets about spending the cash. Well, maybe small. And I guess one other thing that's been in my head, I guess, since Friday, how much will I use the iPhone now?
Yeah.
You know, and it is making me think that the, you know, although I'm looking forward to seeing what the next iPhone is, it's not necessarily the stick-on purchase that I thought.
No.
And I've even been thinking about, you know, is this the best time then to say, well, I've got an iPad that covers off everything I'd want? From a phone point of view, an Android might be a better option.
Yeah. I mean, I was thinking the same thing. Then I also thought that one difference is I'm not going to be carrying the iPad around with me at all times, unlike the iPhone, which I'll have with me all the time.
Yeah.
And I think there are some apps that I'm going to have or I like to have on both devices. So when I don't have one of them with me, I've got it on the other device. And then the other thing for me is... I'm still going to be keeping all my music on the iPhone, I think.
That's true.
And then obviously you've got the camera as well on the iPhone, which you won't have on the iPad. So there are still no things there, but it's just not as compelling an option as it was before.
Agreed. Right, before we move on to our picks, one little funny to finish off on. So I read this today that a woman is suing Google over walking directions. So a woman called Lauren Rosenberg walked onto a highway because Google told her to, and she got hit by a car, which is just crazy yanks. She was reading the directions on her BlackBerry using the Google walking directions, and it shows you had to cross a road. So she was crossing Deer Valley Drive, also known as Utah State Route 224. She followed Google's instructions to brave it on foot, and as she did so, she was hit by a car. So she's suing Google for $100,000. I just think crazy yanks. Crazy, crazy yanks. Anyway, the picks this week.
My pick has to be the iPad, to be honest with you. I know it's you know, it's like cheap. An expensive pick to give to anybody.
Say, no, it's a really cheap, lazy pick.
Talk about cheap, you'll come to yours. I just think it's an amazing device. And, you know, like if you... had any reservations or you've been like listening to people just slagging it off saying it's just a big giant iPad, no, what's the big deal? I suggest you go into like an Apple store or somewhere else that's selling them and just use one for yourself for a little bit and then decide for yourself whether you think it's just a giant iPad or not, iPhone or not.
Mm. Good.
There you go. Yep.
And mine's is an iPad app.
Oh, cheap.
And it's Financial Times. And I was quite surprised when I actually installed it. Financial Times has moved over to like a paid model. And I expected to load it and see a whole lot of content was hidden away and it was locked. But the first 2 months have been covered off basically by a sponsorship deal they've got. So it's free until the end of July. But I think the actual app itself, the design is superb, and I think really shows, you know, what can be done from a almost like a newspaper point of view. All the articles are very readable. There's a whole lot of video content. It's not just all business news either. There's a whole lot of entertainment, arts, media-based stories in there, technology stories in there. And I just think if you get an iPad, download the FT and have a look at just what's possible. I'm sure we're not going to get this from everybody. Already you're seeing that there seems to be a lot of magazines out there and it just looks like you're downloading a PDF.
Yeah.
And that's it. Which I'm not saying won't work, but I think there is a lot to be gained. Yeah. You know, like if Wired had in the back button, you know, it would have got rid of a whole load of my annoyances with Wired. I mean, actually, I did enjoy Wired, actually.
Yep.
You know, for me, slagging it off earlier, it was... I still think the extra... I mean, some of the adverts, there was a Lego advert in it.
Yeah.
Oh, so it's a car advert, sorry, but it was building a Lego model of a car. There was an animation of Mars and all the different, you know, satellites that we've sent to
it. Oh, don't ruin it for me. I've not read it all yet. So going back to this Financial Times, how much is it going to be then once this honeymoon period expires?
I really don't know. That's what I've been trying to find out.
Right.
I don't know if it's just the normal FT subscription cost.
Yeah. But we'll add it in later.
which I'm just trying to Google now just to see what the subscription costs.
Well, while you do that, I had a play with the Financial Times app as well, and as you say, it just shows you, you know, what the like a digital version of our newspaper can do. It's quite hard to like visualize. Most people just think it's just, you know, content, same content as in a hard copy onto a digital version. But they've made it so interactive. I mean, I went onto the stock market page, and they've sort of broken it down into different regions of the world, like Americas, Europe, Asia, and you can actually click on a different region, and it refreshes the little graphs at the bottom without even like, you know, without taking you to another page. It's all done like dynamically. And I thought that was very, very nice. So instead of like trying to squeeze in all the information for all the markets in a, you know, like a finite space on screen, they've actually made it dynamic so that you got more, they can fit in more information now, broken down per region.
And you can also download the information so that you don't need a network connection.
Oh, fantastic, right.
So okay. If you go to the top of the app where you can browse the different sections, you can say download and it downloads it all. It's £2 a week.
That's not too bad, to be honest with you. If there's something that you read a lot, that is pretty good.
And I think that's going to be something that I think that's the bit that's going to sting with people. You know, a lot of the content that we're used to maybe getting for free or access to for free, but we are going to see, you know, you will have to pay for it. And people paid for the paper.
Yeah, so that's what I was thinking.
No, that's a bit you really have to weigh up. If you're willing to pay for a paper, are you willing to pay for it in, you know, a digital version? And some people will and some people won't.
£2 a week is pretty... I was actually, you know, dubious. So I thought they'll be like charging a lot of money, maybe like a tenner a week or something like that. But it's not too bad.
So your pick, Henry?
My pick is actually a book. We don't normally do book reviews as picks, but this was pretty good. Picked this up from Amazon this week. Rework, Change the Way You Work Forever. It's a book by the guys that created the 37 Signals website, which has Basecamp, the online project management tool, and a whole load of other things. And it's just a really interesting read because these guys, there's only, 16 of them in the company. They work right the way across the world. They don't have, like, big board meetings and, 5-year plans and, all these kind of things. So they've basically summarized a lot of what they've learned from running their company, which is, you know, got millions of dollars of revenue and making significant profits as a company. And they've summarized that into, like, pithy little short chapters and interesting stuff. If you're ever interested in starting up your own business or you've got you're working for yourself, you're wondering about how you might want to do things a bit better, just a really quite challenging, interesting read to kind of about doing business differently and how, you know, actually you can still make money in this day and age, but you don't have to do things the traditional corporate way. So I've put the link to the Amazon page in the show notes, and worth picking up if you can get a copy or beg, borrow or steal one.
Or do what I'm doing.
Download it.
I've just bought download it on Kindle.
It. Well, there we go.
So, yeah, thanks for that, Henry.
Thank you.
All right.
And that's this week's podcast, episode 50.
This is it.
And just as you say, this is it. We need to, hopefully the next sort of 2-3 days, we'll have quite a few blog posts just about iPad and what we've found and I guess our views on some of the hardware and software, just in a bit more detail than we've covered today.
Try to cover the tariffs as well for the 3G.
Yep. And we should also mention Tam picked one up.
Oh, yeah. And can I also say happy birthday, Tam? It was his birthday yesterday, I believe.
Ah, very good.
Many happy returns.
Happy birthday, old man.
Yeah.
Maybe that should be a new feature.
Yeah. Send us in your birthday requests and we'll do one every week. About like Glenn Michael.
Ah, Glenn Michael's cavalcade.
Glenn Michael.
What was it? Paladin?
Paladin, yeah. And Dusty.
I don't remember Dusty.
That was a wee dog.
Oh, so it was.
We need to add a link to the show notes for Glenn Michael for all our English listeners.
Anyway, if you like, that was a theme tune, by the way.
It was.
If you want to find out more about us, website is digitaloutbox.com. We'd love to hear from you. So info@digitaloutbox.com is our email address. We're on Twitter as Digital Outbox and on Skype as Digital Outbox. Shaquille, your blog?
ShaquilleNaim.com, and on Twitter it's Shaqken.
And for me, my blog is END.net and on Twitter I am Shwipa.
Can I also say, if I haven't said it before, and if I have, I'll say it again. If you listen to us, then please leave us a review on iTunes if you haven't already.
Yeah, that would be a big help, actually. Mm. Which seems to be the key to letting other people know that we're there.
Yeah.
So yeah, if you've listened to us and you've enjoyed us and you think, yeah, that was quite a laugh, or you found something interesting, yep, then a little rating in iTunes would be greatly appreciated.
And also recommend us to any of your friends and families who are a bit for geeks. And if you have your own blog, then you know, like, you can send us a link and we can add it into the show notes, and then you can in return add a link to our website to your
blog. You just get so desperate.
Ah, got to do these things.
So next week's show will be our 1 year anniversary. 1 year since we started Digital Inbox.
Ah, 1 year old.
I know, long time. Love you, long time.
Oh, I don't think you should edit that bit.
And on that note. Goodbye.
Bye.
Bye-bye. I don't remember seeing a message to say, do you want to buy some, what do you call it? Oh, what? you're gonna have to edit that.
Right, but so
what do you call that thing?
What, data?
Yeah, that's it. Right, okay. I'll start again from there then.